اجمعين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا ان تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت اقدامكم صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله all praises are for Allah عز وجل we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his numerous bounties and for all the blessings that he has given to us And we beg Allah, and we beseech Allah, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to treat us in a kind manner, and we beg Allah to continue to treat us in a good manner, and to give us his special blessings as long as we live on the face of the earth. We ask Allah to protect us from all evils, all fitnas, and all mischief also. In last week's topic and discussion, we had seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken out the Muslim ummah from a state of want and poverty and had blessed them and had given them so many things. He had blessed them with prosperity. He had blessed them with leadership. He had blessed them to govern the different lands. He had given them peace, security. He had given them izzat, honor and respect wherever they went on the face of the earth. And this which Allah had given to them was all in conformance to that promise which Allah had made to them. Allah had made a promise to the believers. That promise which we had described, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَامِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Allah had promised the believers, those people who believe in Allah, and those people who do righteous actions, Allah has promised them that he will establish them on the face of the earth just as he had established people before them on the face of the earth. So many were the rulers and many were the nations and many were the governors that came in the past. This poor bandwagon of Muslims who are struck with poverty, who are struck with want, who did not have sufficient clothing to clothe themselves, nor did they have food to eat, nor did they have any wealth or anything. Allah is saying to them, if you believe in me and you do righteous actions, just as I made those people the rulers of the land, I will also make you rulers of the land. I will give you honor. I will give you status. I will give you glory. Allah said and promised to them in that same ayah, I will establish the deen that I love for you also. Subhanallah. So today, your religion is nothing. Today your religion is insignificant, Allah is saying. This is how people looked at it. People do not want to listen to you. People do not want to pay an attentive ear. This does not mean, but inshallah, if you believe in me and do good deeds, I promise you, Allah is making a wa'ada and a promise. I promise that this very religion that people are looking down upon, this will be established on the face of the earth, subhanAllah. And the third promise Allah gave in that ayah was that today you live in fear. You are persecuted, you are oppressed, you can't walk the street properly, you can't do this properly, you can't buy, you can't sell, you are victimized, you are taunted, you live in fear. Inshallah, Allah says, I promise you, I will remove this fear. I will give you peace, I will give you security, I will give you tranquility. And just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought everything to pass. Allah brought every single thing, one after the other. Allah brought it for the Muslims. Allah gave them during the very time of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says in the Quran, when you see the victory of Allah coming and you see people entering into Islam, in groups and multitudes, then, O Prophet, you should make the tasbih of Allah and you should seek forgiveness from Allah, because that is a sign that your mission has come to an end and your journey to the hereafter will soon begin. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sabr, he had patience, and with every single thing he got in the propagation of the deen of Allah, he never complained to Allah. With every single thing he got in that part, he never complained to Allah about that which he got. But he continued to ask Allah to give him sabr, to give him forbearance, to give him the strength, to give him the ability, even on the occasion of Taif, when the people stoned him, when he fell unconscious, when he lifted his hands, he said, "Oh Allah, I complain to you of my own weakness." Subhanallah. When the words came out from his tongue to pray to Allah, he's complaining to Allah, "Oh Allah, I complain to you about my own weakness. I need strength. I need the courage from you." And Allah continued to give it to him. And whatever promises Allah made with the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers all came to pass. And alhamdulillah, Allah blessed the Muslim ummah at that time, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the very, very immediate period of the Khulafa ar-Rashidun, the pious and righteous Khalifas, Allah blessed Islam. And alhamdulillah, whatever Allah had promised them, he gave to them. And they got it. Allah gave them leadership role. Allah made them governors. People on their own, without even Islam coming to them, they saw the beauty of it and they came into it. They came one by one, tribes after tribes. One tribe after the other tribes, they all came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who hated him started to love him. Those who did not want to see him wanted to see him every day. Those who did not want to hear about Islam, they began to love Islam. There was a whole change. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that honor and that rank and that izzat and that position and status to Islam. And it remained there for a period. But then what we saw, when we look back in the pages of history, we see that after it had reached the highest pinnacle of glory which Allah had given to any ummah on the face of the earth, which Allah had given to any ummah nation on the face of the earth, we started to see a sudden decline coming down. It started to grow apart. It started to go apart. Things started to happen. That love and unity that was there, it started to shift apart. That togetherness that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought and built into the hearts of the companions, that started to move away. And people started to take different priorities in their life. And everybody started to go all over. And very, very soon there was a disintegration in the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And very soon many different things started to happen. Violence, wars, battles, and you name it, it started to happen. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had foretold us about all the different things which we are yet to see, and that which have gone already, that which is yet to come from the Gog and the Magog and the Antichrist and all these things, he, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also told us about what is going to happen immediately after him and what's going to happen down the years, straight down to that period. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about that. And in one beautiful tradition, he said, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِ فَسَيَرَى اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. He says, certainly, he was telling the Sahabas, those of you who live after me, you shall see a lot of differences. You shall see a lot of disunity. You shall see a lot of disharmony. You will see a lot of problems coming in. In fact, it is recorded by Imam Bukhari. Umar radiallahu ta'ala once came to the Sahabas when he was the Khalifa. And he said, while they were sitting, he said, which of you can tell me about the fitness, the trials, and the mischief that will come in this ummah? Which of you can tell me of that? Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala says, I, ana kama qalahu, I can tell you exactly as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. Umar said, tell me. Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala said, the fitna of a man with respect to his wealth, with respect to his family member, his wife, with respect to the neighbors, those things can be forgiven by performing salat. When you perform salat, whatever little problems that may have happened, Allah will wash it away. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala heard that, he says, Laitha hadha uridu, this is not what I intended to hear. This is not what I'm speaking about. That I know. Little sins, minor sins here and there, little slip of the tongue here and there, you perform salat, Allah will forgive you. But he says, I want to hear about that fitna. I want to hear about those trials and the mischiefs and confusion that will take place in this ummah, that will roam the earth and will spread over the earth like the roaming and movement of the waves in the ocean. I want to hear about that. That is what I want to hear about. What is going to happen? What is next and what is after that? Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala, when he heard that, he said, "Oh Amirul Mu'mineen, you don't have to bother with that. You don't have to bother with that. Because between you and between that fitna, there is a door that is locked. A locked door. While you are alive, those fitnas can't enter. So you shouldn't even bother about that." Umar radiallahu ta'ala was extremely intelligent, as we know. So he asked a question. He said that this door you are speaking about, ayuftahu, will this door be open or will this door be broken into? Subhanallah, look at the question he's asking. He said that this locked door that you are speaking about, will that door be open or will that door be broken into? Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala said the door will be broken into. Umar said, "Then if the door is broken into, it shall never be locked again." After quoting that tradition, the other tabi'in who heard the hadith from the student of Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala asked, "Did Umar know who or what was the door?" He said, "Yes. Umar knew what was the door, just as he knew after the morning there is the sunshine, the day after the night." So then they said to Huzaifa, "Who was the door?" He said, "Umar was the door." Subhanallah. Umar was the door. And as long as Umar remained alive, fitna could not have entered into the ummah. It could not. And Umar knew that. So he asked the question, will it be open or broken into? What Umar was asking, after understanding that he was the door that stopped fitna from entering the ummah, he wanted to know by the opening of the door whether he will die a natural death or he will be killed and assassinated. So Huzaifa said, "It will not be open, it will be broken into." He understood immediately, "I will be killed and assassinated." Then upon that he said, "Well, if that is the case, it was going to be broken into. After that, the door will never be locked again." And we know very well, Umar was killed while leading the Fajr Salah. He was killed. He was stabbed in his back. He died as a martyr. And since from the when that incident occurred until today, fitnas have never stopped coming in into the Ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After Uthman passed away, after Umar passed away, Uthman became the Khalifa. And there were so many problems during the time of the Khilafat of Uthman that the people killed Uthman while he was reciting the Quran. He was with the Quran. And the people surrounded him. And it was time for the Salat. And his own people, the people who followed him, they said, "Oh Amirul Mu'mineen, what can we do? Should we fight against these people? Should we fight against them? Muslims, but they were rebels." Uthman says, "No, I do not want to stand on the day of judgment trying to answer the question, why me, Uthman, disunited the Ummah? I do not want that. If they wish to take my life, then let them do so, but I am not going to lift a sword against them." And while reading the Quran, he was killed and he passed away right there. And when he got stamped there, the blood fell on the Quran. And it was the eye of the Quran that it fell on. Sayakfikahum Allah. Very soon, Allah will be sufficient for you against them. Subhanallah. He was killed and assassinated. And after him, Ali radiallahu ta'ala became the Khalifa. Ali was also assassinated and killed. And things started to happen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them about it. On one occasion, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was building his masjid, Masjid an-Nabawi, it is recorded by Imam Bukhari that Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala was with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Ammar says, while we were carrying one brick, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was carrying two bricks. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Ammar bin Yasir, and he was dusting off his shoulder, Ammar's shoulder, with his blessed hands. And while dusting it off, he said, "Oh Ammar, what will be your state when a rebellious group will kill you?" He said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, a rebellious group will kill me. Fiatul Baghiyah, a rebellious group." The Prophet said, "Yes, you will be inviting them to Jannat and they will be inviting you to Jahannam. You will die." Ammar bin Yasir died and was killed in the battle that ensued between the Muslims in Syria and the ones of Kufa. Ammar was killed in that battle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while kissing Hassan and Hussein, he said to Hassan, "Allah will use you to unite two sets of people." He kissed Hussein and said, "You will be a martyr of mine ummah." Hassan, he gave in to the rule of Muawiyah, that Muawiyah become the Khalifa after Ali. All of the people wanted Hassan to become the Khalifa. Hassan, who was the son of Ali. All the people wanted. But in the side of Syria, the people wanted Muawiyah. Hassan said, "I cannot allow this unity again. Let us close it up." And Allah used him to bring two different people together. Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was killed in the bloody tragedy of Karbala. The Prophet says, "You will be a martyr of my ummah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Ali radiallahu ta'ala, "You will be like Isa alayhi salam in my ummah. Allah will misguide two sets of group with respect to you. One group will hate you so much that they will kill you. The other group will love you so much they will put you higher than you are." With respect to Isa alayhi salam, when he came, one group of people thought that he was an imposter. They never believed in him. They went misguided. And the other group believed so much in him that they taught him that he was Allah and the son of Allah, and they put him on that. The sad thing happened with Ali. The Khawarij and the rebels, they hated Ali so much they called him a kafir, and they said to him that your blood is halal to spill, and they eventually killed him, Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And with respect to the other group, they love him so much that they said that he's supposed to be a Nabi, and he's like a Nabi. And ayats were revealed, surahs were revealed called Surah Ali. And in the azan, those people will say that we bear witness that Ali is the wasi Allah, wa ashadu anna aliyan wasi Allah, like how we say ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So two groups, both of them became misguided because of what they did to Ali radiallahu ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam foretold all these things. And it is not that he said it that it must come to pass. It is because of the fact that Allah knew that the mischief that will be brought by the hands of man, and this will bring about the results. The wickedness of people, it will bring about these results. And it started to go in a decline one after the other. And we turn the pages of Islamic history and we see one after the other. As Muslims, we're supposed to be sad about that. And as Muslims, we're supposed to be happy about that which Allah gives to Islam. And that we have in our hearts, that spirit of feeling happy and that spirit of feeling sad, we do have that. Sometimes it may not be used for Islam, but it is there and it is used. And we see it at times. Sometimes we are people living in this country. We are Trinidadians. We see that a country is playing cricket against another one. And we as Muslims want to know who is going to win. And when they win, we become happy. But we are not playing. We become happy because we belong to that country. It's a natural thing in our heart. We support those people who are connected to us. So Islam is connected to us. The Sahabas are connected to us. When Allah blessed them and raised their izzet, we're supposed to become happy. And then when the same team loses, everybody looks sulky. Everybody say, "What's wrong? Team, we lost a match." We become sad. People become sad. Why? Because the one that you were supporting, they lost. So we also, when we see things are happening, we should become sad, because our first alliance is for Allah and His deen. Our first priority is for Allah and His deen. Our number one priority is for Allah and His deen. And when things happen in Islam and to the Muslims that bring about joy and happiness, we naturally feel happy because that is our deen and that is our people. And similarly, when things happen that are not good, we feel sad and we make dua to Allah. We do not become happy and say it's good for you, but we make dua and we ask Allah to forgive. And that's, this should be our attitude. So the rise of Islam brought happiness, but the decline that started to occur at that time until now should make us sad. Because that which has started to occur at that time never stopped, as Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, when that door is broken into, it shall never be locked again. And until today, we see that the promises that Allah had made, He brought these promises. These promises come to pass. But what do we see at the same time? First of all, when Allah established them as rulers, then that rule was taken away from them. That has gone. The deen that was established in any part of the world, that deen was pushed away. So the deen that was love, it's not there anymore. Those people who were once upon a time living in fear and persecution, Allah brought aman, Allah brought security, but then that security was taken away, and again persecution and oppression started again on the people. So what the Muslims did not have and they got from Allah was, it like a reverse, it went away, went again, and it started to come down and it continues. So therefore, that is something for us to look at. On one side, the uruj, the climbing up, and on the other hand, the direct opposite side, it is the zawal and the decline. And many of us, when we want to look at what is the state of the ummah, and when we want to look at what is really happening, and we know very well, for those of us who are concerned about the deen of Allah, and for those of us who really love the deen of Allah from the depths of our heart, and for those of us who wish to see the deen of Allah flourish, we feel disheartened and we feel sad to know that things are happening. Attacks are taking place. The Quran is being condemned. This is being condemned. Our Rasul is being condemned. We feel disheartened. We feel sad. You know why we feel sad? Because there is love for Allah and His religion in our heart. If there was no love, then it will just be like somebody got knocked down. We say, that's not my family member. But if we have love, we will definitely feel that magnet pulling us towards that. And that is a sign of our iman. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us when you would know that you have iman. He says, when one of you see a wrong thing being done, you should stop it with the hand. That is iman, because you don't want to see Allah be disobeyed. If you cannot stop it with the hand, then you stop it with the power of your speech and your tongue. That goes to show that you are angry that Allah is being disobeyed. You just can't tolerate it, so you speak out against it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but if you can't speak about it and you can't change it and do anything with your hand, then you should feel it in your heart. You should feel sad. You should feel bad in your heart. How can this person disobey Allah? How can these things happen? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is the lowest state of iman. In another riwayat of the same tradition, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no iman after that. There is no iman after that, which is a very, very, very important statement for us, which goes to show that if things are happening, wrongdoings are taking place, Allah is being disobeyed, the deen of Allah is being condemned, attacked, and criticized, and we don't feel any sadness in our heart with respect to the words of the Rasul, that person doesn't have iman. Because after that last state of feeling it, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there is no iman. So normally, as I was saying, when we try to judge and we try to measure and we try to figure out and wonder what is really taking place, are we going ahead? Are we going back? Are we rising? Are we going down? Normally, we look at the past as we have described. We look at the past. We look at historical facts and evidence. We look at what took place and we say, look what happened. We look at the past and we also look outside of us. What is happening to this country? What is happening to that country? What has happened to the Muslims of this land? What has happened to the Muslims of that land? We normally do that. Two things we do when we want to measure our progress and we want to know if we are getting better or we are getting worse. Two things we do. We normally look back in history and we look outside. But it's time that we stop doing that and we begin to do two other things. We look inside and we look at present, not in the past. Because if we look at present, it can tell us a lot. And if we look at inside rather than outside, that is sufficient for us to know whether we are going anywhere, we are stagnant, or we are walking backwards. These two things. We look at our present state. We look at our inside state. We look at our own selves as Muslims. Are we really progressing? Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been extremely gracious to us. The amount of education that has been disseminated, the amount of books that are being published, the amount of lectures that are being given, the amount of articles that are being written, the amount of different services that are being done for Islam, never before in history has that occurred. Never before. Thousands and millions of books. Those books that people in the past could not read because of the Arabic language, it is in English. Every single thing. When you can't buy a book, it's on the internet. You get an article written. You can have a program here. You can have a lecture there. You can have a lecture there. Long ago, maktab, no masjid. Masjid closed. Big masjid today. Many masajid. Maktab every day of the week. With all that is taking place, with all the movement that is taking place, the question is, where have we reached? Where have we gone to? How far have we gone to? Alhamdulillah, things are happening and we thank Allah for that. Yes, more people in the masjid. Many Muslims have changed their lives. Alhamdulillah, many people have started to perform salat. Many people know how to read the Quran. Many things, but at the same time, there are many, many different obstacles and hurdles we still need to cross. Alhamdulillah, let's measure our own self. Let's measure our own self. Long ago, people had a little amount of knowledge. You don't have scholars. People had a little amount of knowledge. Or no knowledge at all. But yet with that little amount of knowledge, the type of love, togetherness, and unity we found in community, you would never see that today, and Allah knows best. That togetherness, that looking out for each other, that being there for a person, that helping, that kindness, that calling this one uncle and that one and being, we don't have that. We don't have that. But with the amount of knowledge, it seems that we have a greater amount of disunity. With the more we have, it is the more groups we have. It is the more condemnation we have. It is the more criticism we have. Today your own children will tell you, I am not performing salat behind you. Today your own children will tell you, you are not a good Muslim. You are a mushrik. You are a kafir. Na'uza billah. Long ago there was poverty. People grew up in humble beginnings. People grew up in humble beginnings. There was hardly anything to eat. People would work very hard. And a small amount will suffice for the biggest family. A big amount doesn't even suffice for the smallest family today. With that poverty, there was unity, respect, love, obedience within the family home. Today there is everything and everybody has gone their own way. What is the problem? What is really the problem? Why are we not going forward? Listen to what Allah says in the Quran about the Ahlul Kitab. وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ Allah is telling us, the Ahlul Kitab and the people of the book only went astray and divided themselves after the clear signs came to them. So we ask the question, is it too much of knowledge that is dividing us? Allah is telling us in the Quran, not before, when ilm came to them, when the Torah came to them, when the Injil came to them, when the Quran was revealed, before they didn't have anything, they were together. But after it was revealed, then they disunited. It makes us wonder what is really happening. So therefore, if we were to look at our own selves and our situation, we will realize that we also need to put a holding and supportive hand to the reconstruction and the building of Islam. At least that is what we can do. Every time Allah sends a people and He gives them the ability to help His deen in a manner that is suited at that time. Many of us do not have the strength and ability to become warriors like the Sahabas. We don't have that, isn't that so? We don't have the ability to probably eat on dry leaves and tie stones on our stomach. We don't have that ability. We don't have that ability to be so strong to go with a horse and camel and face 100 people. We don't have that. But Allah doesn't want us to have that ability. He gave that ability to the Sahabas because He wanted to use their effort at a time when that ability was needed. So He used it there. We don't need that ability today. Whatever ability that Allah wants us to have to support deen, He has given us that. He has given it us to us. So He has given us the ability to probably donate. He has given us the ability to work and build a masjid. He has given us the ability to print a Quran, to publish a Quran, to write, to go out and invite without fear. He has given us a lot of ability which must be used for the building and the reconstruction of the deen. And that is what He's going to ask us about on the Day of Judgment. So we cannot say to Allah, well, I wasn't strong like the Sahabas, so I couldn't do what they did. Allah doesn't want us to do what they did. Allah wants us to do what you can do. What you can do. The ability you have, that is what Allah wants to see. So each and every one of us, my dear respected and beloved brothers and sisters, we have to ask ourselves a question. How much are we into the building process of Islam again? We can't change the world overnight, nor can we change the ummah overnight. But the little that you and I can do, it adds up. It will have a change in our lives, in our family lives, in the community life, and then it will go by extension. So we are here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the hadith recorded by Sahl ibn Sa'd as-Sa'idi radiallahu ta'ala, narrated by him and recorded by Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْخَيْرَ خَزَائِنُ. This deen of Allah, it is treasures, subhanallah, that we don't even know. This deen of Allah, Islam, it is treasures. وَلِتِلْكَ الْخَزَائِنُ مَفَاتِحُ. And for these treasures, they are keys. You can't open a treasure box until you have a key. So for these treasures, there are keys. Then he goes on to say, فَتُوبَ لِعَبْدٍ. So glad tidings be to that servant of Allah. Blessed be that servant of Allah. جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ مِفْتَاحًا لِلْخَيْرِ مِغْلَاقًا لِلشَّرِ. Glad tidings and blessed be that servant of Allah that Allah uses as a key towards goodness and as a lock towards evil. Subhanallah. The Rasul is making dua. If Allah uses you as a key to open goodness, blessed be you, the Rasul is saying, and then you will be a lock for evil. وَوَيْلُ الْعَبْدِ. But woe unto that servant. جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ مِفْتَاحًا لِلشَّرِّ مِغْلَاقًا لِلْخَيْرِ. But woe unto that person that Allah uses as a key for evil, but as a lock for goodness. We don't want to be like the second people. We want to be like the first one. So it's our choice to make. To be like the first one. May Allah bless us. May Allah give us the ability and the understanding to know that we have a job at this time. This is our time. This is our generation. And we are required to help Allah and the deen of Allah at this time. Allah promises us in the Quran, if you help the deen of Allah, He will help you. We all need help in each and everything. But that help can only come when each and every one of us, in our own way, lend the support and help to the deen of Allah. Wal akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
الحمدللہ العلیم الخبیر المتقن نظام العالم بلا معین و نصیر فسبحان اللہ حکمته بالغة وعلمه غدیر ونعمه واسلة الى کل صغیر و کبیر ونشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحده لا شریک له ونشہد ان سیدنا و مولانا محمد عبده و رسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله واصحابه ما دامت الكواكب تسير اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا ان تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت اقدامكم صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ان هذا الخير خزائن ولتلك الخزائن مفاتيح فتوب لعبد جعله الله مفتاحا للخير مغلاقا للشر وويل للعبد جعله الله مفتاحا للشر مغلاقا للخير بارك الله لنا ولكم في القران العظيم ونفعنا بآياته وذكر الحكيم نستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الاحياء منهم والاموات ان الله السميع قريب مجيب دعوات الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنهم اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباتنة لا تغادر ذنبا الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم من بعد غرضا فمن أحبهم فبحب أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغض أبغضهم وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم إن الله يعمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم والله أعلى وأولى وأجل وأتم وأهم وأكبر وأقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Make sure the lines are straight, no spaces between. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawm Al-Din Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Al-Sirata Al-Mustaqim Sirata Al-Lazina An'amta Alayhim غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن المتقين في ظلال وعيون وفواكه مما يشتهون كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما كنتم تعملون إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين ويل يومئذ للمكذبين كلوا وتمتعوا قليلا إنكم مجرمون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين وإذا قيل لهم اركعوا لا يركعون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين فبأي حديث بعده يؤمنون.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجنك يتيما فآوى ووجنك ضالا فهدى ووجنك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو واعف عنا. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Respected brothers and sisters, as a little reminder, remember that the sunnah after the fard is emphasized, we should try and pray them. This Saturday, inshallah, is meeting, general meeting of the masjid. Brothers are asked to turn out program tonight, inshallah. Maulana Abdul Salam continuing with his lecture from last week. So we should all turn up. Program begins with the Maghrib Salah. And as we leave the masjid, remember to give a little contribution for the upkeep of the Jamaat. Jazakumullah.